Good morning. So the first reading today is from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 18, and it's verses 1 to 19, and that can be found on page 550 of the Pew Bibles. So it's Psalm 18, verses 1 to 19. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Jonah 1, verse 17, and Jonah 2, verse 1 to 10. This can be found on page 928 of the Church Bibles. Jonah 1, verse 17, Jonah 2, verse 1 to 10. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have seats. Good. You can all hear me. That's good news. Brilliant. Well, just before I start, let me pray for us as we open God's word and see what he has to say to us this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a speaking God. Thank you that you speak to us through your word. So we pray that you would speak to us now. Might we know your word, your character. Know that salvation comes from you. Help us to see more of that and love Jesus more through all that we do now. For your glory. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard sort of the stories of deathbed confessions, maybe those ones where obviously someone's on their deathbed and they've been feeling guilty all their lives about how that priceless vase or dish has been smashed, and they've blamed the dog or the cat or the younger sibling who's just that little bit too young really to get into trouble a lot about it. But then they're there on their deathbed and finally they summon the courage, there's nothing left that can happen to them. They say what happened to them. They confess that they were the ones who broke that dish all those years ago. It's often, isn't it, when we're at our lowest ebb, that we will really face up to the reality, what we're like, where we're at. And you might even turn back to the Lord on having a deathbed confession. And this week, we see what's happened to Jonah. And it's really important to see that as he's been thrown into the sea by the sailors, as he's tried to save them, trying to get the storm to stop, we see that he's the problem. He's the one who's disobeyed God. But that we need to see that in a sense, Jonah dies as he goes down into the sea. We see that in verse 2, where Jonah says he calls up from the realm of the dead. Verse 6, God has raised Jonah's life up from the pit. There's an aspect in which we can say that Jonah has died. And then we have the added picture of the Bible that the sea is often portrayed as this sort of chaos and evil. So instead of a deathbed confession, we see Jonah's response to God for how he has been rescued from the dead. And we need to remember also from last week that Jonah is flawed. He's by no means a perfect prophet. Remember, God said go, Jonah said no. We see Jonah's reaction as he's as low as he possibly could be. We see how Jonah acknowledges God and who God is. And it's wonderful that God keeps pursuing Jonah as one of his chosen people, just as he pursues the Ninevites in sending Jonah to preach to the Ninevites. See, we see grace comes to Jonah. And it's a really good job too, because by the end of chapter 2 and verse 10, we see Jonah proclaiming salvation comes from the Lord. And it's really good news for wayward prophets and wayward sinners like you and me. We're going to see that as Jonah prays this prayer in chapter 2, he knows God's character, and Jonah can pray this prayer of praise and dependence upon the Lord. You know, I don't say repentance. We'll see if that happens over the coming weeks. And we'll also see that Jonah knows God's character by knowing God's word, particularly the Psalms. So we come to our first point. Jonah can call out to God because of who God is. Jonah can call out to God because of who God is. And first, we see that having been thrown overboard by the sailors, God sends a huge fish to come and swallow Jonah up. And from there, Jonah finds himself inside the fish, which may not sound like a brilliant rescue, but the alternative is Jonah being lost to sea, him actually dying. And it always has to be that way. When men and women sin, God has a choice. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what happens when people sin. Or, and wonderfully, there is always an or. God sends salvation and rescue. It may not always feel amazing, but from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, through Israel sinning throughout the Old Testament, God always has a choice. Back in the Garden of Eden, God could have snuffed Adam and Eve out and said, "That's it, I'm done." But God was kind. He provided a rescue for them, even within the judgment and the curse of mankind and creation. God gives a promise. And then throughout the Old Testament, we see how that promise develops, and God promised to save as many more numerous than the stars are in the sky. And because God has promised he will make a people for himself, there's always the opportunity for repentance, both for Jonah and the Ninevites. So there Jonah is. He's in the stomach of this enormous fish. I don't know what it must have been like. I guess smelly, dank, dark, and totally terrifying for Jonah. He's been saved from the sea, but has he just been saved from the sea to meet a slightly maybe longer death in the depths of this stomach of the fish? He's terrified. Jonah has no way of saving himself. He can only turn and pray to God. And wonderfully, that's exactly what he does. And looking at verse one, we can see that Jonah, he wasn't chilled out. He wasn't sort of some Zen-like picture of peace. He wasn't certain that God was going to save him. He was distressed, but he reacted the right way. Rather than shying away from God, he called out to God. And God, being a God of salvation, answered Jonah. God is not a God who is indifferent to our strife and our difficulties, even when they're self-inflicted. See, Jonah didn't need to be in the situation, did he? He was the one who ran away from God. He was the one who disobeyed God. God has disciplined Jonah because of his disobedience. Verse 3, Jonah knows that it's God who has hurled Jonah into the sea. And God's discipline always wants to bring his children back to himself. Because Jonah's not been heroic. He's been a tow rag. He's been disobedient. And in the second half of verse 2, Jonah really recognises where he's been. He's been down to the depths. He's been down to the dead, where the place where the dead goes. In Hebrew, it's the word Sheol. So understandably, Jonah asks to be delivered by God, for God to deliver Jonah from this place. And amazingly, Jonah still listens. Sorry, God still listens to Jonah. God still listens to Jonah's cry. These first few verses are really full on. And there's no let up in the intensity here from Jonah, knowing where he is in God's sight. He clearly sees that it's God who's placed him where he is. Of course, it was the sailors on the boat who threw him overboard. But in God's sovereignty, Jonah sees how it was God's hand that is where Jonah is now. He's been hurled to the depths, into the heart of the sea. He's helpless as the currents and the sea swirled around him. Worse, in verse 4, Jonah knows that he's been banished from God's sight. Such is the gravity of Jonah's sin and disobedience. But now rescued, just about, by God inside the fish, Jonah knows that God isn't quite finished here with him yet. Jonah will be able, he's confident, to look again to God's holy temple. Jonah can have confidence that God has not permanently expelled him from his presence. Jonah can dare to hope to look to the temple where God's presence was seen to be dwelt in Israel, where God's gracious provision meant that Israel's sin was able to be dealt with, where Jonah knows salvation is to be found. Jonah continues in his prayer to the God who he's tried running away from. And in verses 5, 6 and 7, Jonah is still feeling the threat of what's happened to him, the peril that he's experienced. He went down to the depths of the mountain, to the depths of the ocean, down to Davy Jones's locker, as we might say. Jonah really did feel the terror of being close to losing his life. Maybe he saw his life flash before his eyes. The earth barred Jonah in forever, or so it must have felt like. When Jonah's life felt like it was ebbing away, verse 7, but still God's trustworthiness and character came through and brought Jonah up from the depths, up from the pit, up from the depth. That's that same word we saw in verse 2, where Jonah knew he was where people go after they've died. God heard Jonah and answered him. Again, we see God being a God of salvation and of mercy. God's relenting in what Jonah really deserves. And in verse 8, we see that Jonah proclaims how those who serve other gods, pretend gods, turn away from God's love for them. I wonder what Jonah's idol was. I think we see something of what Jonah's idol was in verse 9. He wants God on his terms. He's happy to praise God and sacrifice to him. But Jonah's less happy on other people, for other people who are outside of Israel praising and sacrificing to the living God. It's ironic, isn't it? As we saw back in chapter 1, that's exactly what the sailors did after they'd seen the storm go flat, albeit Jonah wasn't to know that. And in the end of this prayer of this imperfect, rebellious prophet, he's brought to mind all of God's character and faithfulness. The Lord finally bends Jonah's will to his. So now Jonah will go to Nineveh and proclaim salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, I don't know how you feel after running through Jonah's prayer. Confused, maybe you find it that God would save a prophet like Jonah who just doesn't seem to do what prophets of God should do. And I've really tried to labour the point of just how much Jonah has missed the point about God. He knows so much, yet still runs away. But Jonah still is able to cry out to God, and God hears Jonah. And that is wonderfully encouraging for the likes of you and me. Those, as we hear God's voice to us week by week, as we're here at St. Andrew's, as his word is read and taught, yet we still find ourselves running away in all sorts of ways, not listening to God. And I don't know about you, but when I know I've messed up, my temptation is to shy away from God. My prayer life goes, I just don't really want to engage. And in the hardness of life, we can recognise God's discipline on us. Hebrews 12 says this: "But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." When we feel God's hand of discipline over us, let's recognise that and let's return to him. Let's cry out to the Lord, even though we know we fall short of his standards. But because of Jesus, we can and are forgiven. Jonah has his faults. There's plenty of them, aren't there? But he knows God's character and so cries out to God. Jonah, like us, is a work in progress. We're all at different points in our walk with the Lord, but we can all turn back to God. And when I feel like I'm shying away from God, I need to take a leaf out of Jonah's book. I need to be bold and I need to come back to the Lord. Jonah knows he's done wrong. He's like that younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus tells. But instead of pig's will, it was the depths of the ocean that brought Jonah back to his senses. It's God's discipline of Jonah that is the only reason why Jonah is here praying this prayer. Jonah knew that salvation comes from the Lord. And I hope we do too, that we can cry out to the Lord and know that salvation comes from him. When we're in the pit of despair, when we feel like we're far from God, when we're in that pit, we've been destined for hell, we too can remember what the Lord has done, that we can praise the Lord with grateful praise. We too can say salvation comes from the Lord and cling to our hope in him. And in fact, we can go further than Jonah in all our prayers, because of the good that is there is in Jonah's prayer. Jonah never says sorry for running away here. He recognises where he is because of his sin, but he never really repents. He really never really acknowledges of what he's done wrong. But we must say sorry. We must repent. We must turn back from our sin and turn back to God for forgiveness. More on this next week. But it's because of the one who did die and did indeed go down to the realms of the deep. Jesus, who died on the cross and then went into the earth for 3 days. Jesus is the one who supremely shows us God's character. And he is the one we can cling to in times of our trouble and our disobedience, no matter how self-inflicted it is. Because Jesus has dealt with it all, God will not send us away. We know more than Jonah because Jesus has come. We know about him. We know what happens to the younger son at the end of the parable. He comes back and the father welcomes the younger son. What Jonah knew in black and white, we know in full colour. So even in the worst of our sin, let's not shy away from God. Let us, like Jonah, call out to God. Let us trust in his character, knowing that he is a God of salvation and it comes from the Lord. What a welcome we receive from our Father when we return home in faith and repentance. So having seen how Jonah calls out to God, we can now see his basis for doing that, because he knew God's word and he knew God's character. So know God's word, know his character. And I want to suggest the reason why Jonah was able to know the character of the Lord so well and the trustworthiness of God is because despite his many failings, Jonah knew God's word well. I wonder how you felt when Rebecca read Jonah 2 when she was reading it. When I first read through this, I was like, huh, this feels like a psalm in the middle of Jonah 2. What's going on? And I was very happy to find out that there are lots of quotations or very similar words from the Psalms. And not just one or two, there are 8 or 9 or 10. And they're there at the bottom of the notice sheet if you want to look at them in your own time. We'll just look through a couple now for time sakes. But just look down at Jonah 2. It says this: in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and he listened to my cry. Now listen to Psalm 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. And Psalm 120, verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress and he answers me. And then Jonah 2, verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And Psalm 50, verses 14 and 23. Sacrifice, thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honour me. And to the blameless I will show my salvation. Jonah knew God's word. And let me tell you, I doubt it was very much. It was as he was sinking down into the depths or was swallowed up by the fish that he came to know all that. I imagine he learned it in his youth, maybe from parent to child. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this: these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Tell about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Parents, friends of those who have got children, it's a word for all of us. Are we helping our children and young people know the Bible? Not just know the stories, but intimately know what they say. Helping them write God's word on the door frames of their hearts. No? Well, first, we must be writing them on the door frames of our hearts. We saw with James, didn't we, Psalm 1, and how wonderful it is to be like that fruitful tree, deeply rooted in the refreshing water of God's word. However Jonah came to know God's word so well, my point is Jonah likely knew God's word from times where slightly less stressful than drowning in the ocean or being swallowed up by a fish. I guess in those days, it would have just been standard practice for Old Testament believers to know the Psalms off by heart. In Ephesians 6 language, Jonah had been putting on the armour of God all his life. Each day as he read and took in bits of the Old Testament, he was reinforcing the shield of faith or the belt of truth or sharpening the sword of the Spirit. For times like these, for times when he was stressed and tested in really tough times. And let's marvel at God's grace to Jonah. Jonah is in the situation because of his disobedience, because of his sin. And yet God, in his mercy, has given Jonah the words to say from the Old Testament for Jonah to appeal to God's character, for Jonah to be rescued. It feels backwards, yet God is so kind and so gracious in giving Jonah exactly what he needed when he needed it most. It seems inescapable to me that it's a really good thing for us to be getting into God's word day by day, week by week. Maybe through simply reading the Bible, maybe with some notes which just help us draw out the truths from God's word. Listening to sermons here, week by week, maybe online. Reading Christian books, listening to music that takes maybe a psalm or a great Bible truth and puts it to music. Lucy was telling me about at the women's getaway, and they were thinking about how to get into a routine, about being stuck into the Bible, and variety in how you engage with God's word is really brilliant. Men, we had a brilliant time looking at Psalm 23 a few weeks ago. So many ways to be hearing and listening to God's word, whether we're in the green pastures of life or whether we're walking through the darkest valley. Just when I was out of university, I went to be with a church on the Wirral. And I remember the church warden was telling me a bit about how it's quite a helpful way of thinking about how the Bible works. And he said, so stay with me for the first bit, but what did you eat for tea yesterday? And I told him, and he said, what did you eat this time last year? And despite being a huge food fan, I couldn't actually remember. But then he said, but you remember being full, don't you? You remember being fed, you remember being sustained. And it's like that with the Bible. Hopefully we can remember what we did last week, Jonah 1, the week before that, the end of 1 Corinthians 3, and before that. But over the years, God sustains and builds us up with his word, as by the Holy Spirit, God uses his word to build us up to be more like Jesus. And it's no different with the children in our church family. There's no better inheritance for our kids than knowing the Bible better, because it's how they know God better. At Keswick, I was at a seminar led by a really experienced children's worker, and he was saying that how kids think about God and church is formed by the time they're 9 years old, which is great news, because he's got 9 years to work with them. But then after that, it gets more difficult. So how do you build their view of God? Read them the Bible. Read it with them when they're a bit older. Even if your kids are older than nine, God is gracious. Be excited about the Bible. Let them see that you're reading it. If it's a dusty old book on a bookshelf that's clearly never read, then I guess they might assume that's how we view the Bible and that's how we view God. Let's be excited about the Bible, and then let's share that excitement with each other. And I guess it's easier to do that and to get our thinking straight about God when we're not in the storm of life. Let's use the quieter times to be getting into God's word for the times when life would be more difficult. Even when we're in the middle of the storm, God still wants us to know that salvation comes from the Lord. And we know that through reading and learning from God's love letter, his word to us. The Bible is a wonderful gift from the Lord. Let's be those here at St. Andrew's that would be week by week putting on the armour of God, knowing God's character, so that when we, like Jonah, disobey, when we run away, when we sin, we will know always that we have a God who loves us, is willing to welcome us back, to forgive, to restore us as we repent and turn to Jesus, our Saviour, who is raised on high and sitting at the right hand of our Father in heaven. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much that we have your word. Thank you that it points us to Jesus. Now might we treasure your word. Might we always remember that you, that salvation comes from you. And we never, ever doubt that, and bring glory to you as day by day we live trusting the Lord Jesus. Amen.